We're back on Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, we're winding up Pride Month here on WGN Radio. And I'm thrilled to have a chance to talk to Congresswoman Marie Newman. She and her transgender daughter, Evie, were featured on the cover of Teen Vogue earlier this month. Congresswoman, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Good to be here.
And, you know, I should tell you, I've told the audience, certainly we've talked about it from time to time, but I'm the proud owner of a transgender daughter as well, Lily. So we have that in common, and I'm happy to see your leadership on this issue.
Well, thank you. It is, you know, Evie did all the hard work,
yeah.
And I'm just here to support her.
Reading the article, is her gender identity the driving force behind your running for Congress?
You know, one of many things, Steve, I think that the frame with which I look through the world is equity and equality. So whether it is economic equity, there's a lot of inequities in the world. And so, you know, I'm a big fan. I've worked on everything from healthcare inequity to economic inequity. I'm a big pro-labor person. So all of those things, all of those fights are important to me. So it is pretty natural whenever there's a humanitarian issue or a civil rights issue, I'm pretty supportive.
One of the things we found as we tell our story and introduce our daughter is the number of people who have a transgender person in their family or just in the, you know, next level out extended family. You know, when people share their stories, we find out they're more common than I thought.
They're 100%. I mean, I think that when we were first finding our way about 5.5 or 6 years ago, right after she came out, we found this wonderful community with Lurie's gender identity group downtown. And it was wonderful because what we realized is that the 100 families that were part of this group knew 100 more people just in the Chicago area. And now I think that program has something like 500 or 1,000 families in it.
Right.
It is much more in our everyday than we could possibly imagine.
I guess I bring that up because I was surprised to read, you know, I introduced you as a member of Congress who has a transgender child. But in the article, it says that there are at least a half a dozen other members of Congress in the same family situation.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's I would not have guessed that number. Okay, I want to talk about a few things. Issues of the day first. The Supreme Court today refused to take up the bathroom issue. I think it came out of Virginia. And
yes.
I just wonder, you know, the Alito and Thomas voted to hear the appeal, but the other justices voted against that. So that issue is pretty much moot now in Virginia. I'm wondering about your reaction to that.
You know, so it's good and bad. On one hand, it's good that they perceive that there is that this case is not worthy of discussing, because a lot of these crazy bills, and there's like, you know, hundreds of them that are red herring bills around transgender folks. I think that the recognition that they are all solutions without a problem, and I mean that in the very strongest
sure,
of terms,
no.
That they're red herrings. These things just don't, I mean, I'll just give you an example, Steve. Those 33 bills, there's a series of AP reporters went out and called those legislators that authored those bills and said, hey, can you give me the data, the commission study, some anecdotes, some episodes? Not one of them could share so much as an anecdote. So it is just a big fat red herring, these bills. And so the throwing it out and not hearing it tells us that it is not a real bill. That's not a serious bill. It has nothing to do with legislation.
Yeah, I saw one count where there are 250 anti-LGBTQ bills introduced around the states in this most recent session. You know, in Wisconsin, I don't know the disposition of it. I think if it didn't fail, Evers may have vetoed it. But there was a transgender high school athlete bill there that would ban transgender boys from competing, transgender girls from competing on girls teams. And at the time, I talked about this on the air, we reached out over and over and over to the legislators sponsoring it. They wouldn't come on the show to talk about it. And it's,
I should hear why.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, it's sad because it's not unusual for wedge issues to be championed around the country, but they're really ostracizing young people who need to be hugged more than ever.
Right. Exactly.
And then the other one in Arkansas, and I want to talk to you about this one because that still is on the books, I believe, where doctors, if so in your situation, Evie was a minor. In Arkansas, yep. She would not have been able to be treated legally, correct?
That's correct.
Explain that for me.
So that is the best way. So just to give you a sense, I'll give you a stat that is terrifying. In the general population, depression exists at the rate of roughly 16 or 17%. Among transgender women of all ages, it's 62%. 62%. So these laws that they're putting in place that make transgender women and transgender men and folks that are non-binary feel worse about themselves. The number one and two issues that all of them face is that they feel not worthy and they feel like they don't fit in and frequently are suicidal. I will tell you, my daughter has had a couple of episodes where she felt suicidal, and she's doing so much better now and is thriving. But nevertheless, she did. And these bills drive those feelings. It's horrible.
I'm so happy to hear that she's feeling better. It is horrible. And I don't know if people, even if you have trouble with transgender people, I'm sorry that you do. But if you do, think of this. This is a law in Arkansas that bans well-intentioned doctors from dealing with these confused kids. I mean, the state legislature is keeping the kids out of the doctor's office.
And these sex-affirming and gender-affirming healthcare treatments are life-saving in every way, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And for a state to ban it is the best way to have more suicidal kids. That's the best strategy for that.
Yeah, I just think, and they're using the kids as a way to get votes in the election. And it's so sad to me. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but the state of California just this afternoon announced the attorney general there that they're banning all official travel, so government-paid travel, to Arkansas, Montana, North Dakota, West Virginia, and Florida because of transgender laws there.
I think that's right. I think that these states have to feel it in the pocketbook because they clearly don't feel it in the heart or the head. So they got to feel it in the pocketbook. I think that's the best way. So bravo on them, on California. You know, talking about this, we have, in many states, there are these great student mental health and safety helplines that are really helpful to kids, to LGBTQ kids, because the number one and two, when kids do report on these helplines, the number one and two most common reports are bullying and threats of suicide. So my office is introducing a bill that would fund these types of very helpful helplines across the nation. Here in Illinois, we're lucky. We have one called Safe to Help that's done a lot of good, but we need that across the nation. So I've just introduced that legislation and couldn't be more excited to give kids another resource so that they can call and feel as though that they have the support that they need.
That's fantastic. There was a rights bill passed out of the House, right? But no action in the Senate?
Yeah, so the Equality Act was passed out of the House in February, and it is on its way to the Senate. We are working hard to get senators to really understand this issue. And obviously, you can understand the issue, but for some reason still vote against it, which I don't understand. The basis of our entire Constitution and our society is equality and equity. So when these senators, these Republican senators, and those are the ones who are trying to move over to a yes, say that they will not vote for it, they're voting against their constituency. Steve, in this country, somewhere between 75 and 80% of the country wants the Equality Act passed. So just statistically, these senators that are voting against the Equality Act, they are voting against their constituency, because in almost every state, it's between 70 and 80%. So it is absolutely that they're voting against their constituents. So for me, the message is rethink the math, folks, and you better pass this, because if you don't, you're going to feel it at the ballot box the next time your election is up.
We're talking to Congresswoman Marie Newman of Chicago about our transgender daughters. Congresswoman, we got to go. Tell me what brings you the most joy when it comes to Evie.
You know what? I think the first piece of joy was when she found her authenticity 6 years ago. That was the probably one of the most joyful moments in my life. But every day when she feels more and more comfortable and more authentic, and you see it in different ways, by when she gets a job, when she's done well on a test, when she meets a new friend, those are the constant joys that keep me going.
Congresswoman Marie Newman, it was wonderful to talk to you. I look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. I would be glad to come back anytime.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.